Today our Bible reading is again in the book of Romans, and we're moving to chapter 7, Romans chapter 7. We're going to read this chapter, and I trust you'll bear with me. We have some technical statements here, and I trust that we will benefit as we read the Lord's word here in Romans 7, verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me by that which is good, that by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and today we're looking at this balancing act between the liberty of the gospel and rejecting legalism, where people are brought again into a different kind of bondage. The gospel is given to set men free. Jesus said it himself, "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." But that is not a freedom to serve the flesh and the world and, of course, the devil, but rather it is a freedom to live in the grace of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And just as in driving down a roadway, there is a ditch on each side, and there are those who go into that ditch of antinomianism, there is no law at all to keep and I can do what I like, or there is the other side falling into the bondage of legalism. Today in this message, as we come to the pulpit ministry of our church, we're going to look at that blessed balance of living the Christian life in freedom, not under condemnation, but out of delight in the law of God and with our desire to please the Lord, because we have bowed the knee and made the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of my life. And of course, as Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" And so there is a happy, joyous, liberating service unto the Lord that will bring glory unto him. And that's where we want to be. And I hope that you have found that balance in your life. We are not pleasing God by coming under a set of rules, but we do seek to obey God according to his moral law, that expression of God's own holy nature in his holy character. And when it's sinful and worldly, we flee from it. So stay tuned as we move now to our pulpit ministry. Romans chapter 7. And while we're going to scan a number of things in the chapter, we're going to make our starting point, verse 6 today, and look at this statement of newness of spirit, not the oldness of the letter. Romans 7, verse 6. "But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." Well, we never apologize for preaching the cross, and we never stop inviting sinners to come and trust in the work of the Savior that he accomplished on that tree. He has made an all-sufficient atonement to reconcile you to the Father, to God who is infinitely holy. And that was a miraculous work. It was a supernatural work in every aspect that you may look upon it. Now, when you invite people to come to the cross and they do believe and trust in the atoning work of the Savior, then what? What do you do now that you are a believer in the atoning work of the Lord Jesus? How are we now to live? And I think that it's a bit like a vine growing on a trellis. Those new shoots have to be trained, because they would go in every which direction and they end up getting lopped off so that they end up bearing no fruit. And this is now the issue. What to do that you are in Christ? What to do that you are now a Christian? How should we then live? Now, there are the two extremes that are dealt with in Romans 6 and Romans 7. Number one, Romans 6 is, well, I'm in Christ, I'm in grace, I'm no longer under the law, I can live as I like. And of course the Apostle Paul addressed that. No. Just because grace abounds and because you are justified freely from all things, it does not mean now that you live lawlessly. Chapter 7 deals with the other extreme, and that extreme is that we must keep the law rigorously. And so chapter 7 is really dealing with our freedom to live in Christ apart from the bondage of the letter or that legalism, which is the tendency of every human being. Many people, and indeed all religions, have this tendency that you are holy by what you do. You are holy by the things that you keep and by the rules that you follow. Well, if that's the case, then there is all kinds of false holiness in the world. And the Christian life is not our doing, but it rather is that new life that is in the Lord Jesus. Now, to help us, in chapter 7, verse 1, the Apostle Paul starts with a very big illustration. And the illustration in the early part of chapter 7 is a woman who is bound by the law to her husband as long as she liveth. And that is the illustration that is given. And it's true. While you are married to your husband, as long as he liveth, you are bound to honor your marriage and honor him. But when death strikes, you are free from every obligation of that marriage. You are no longer obliged to keep only to him. You are free even to be married, as it says at the end of verse 3, to be married to another man. Now, that is not Paul saying, seek to be free, but he's using it as an illustration that when you are in Christ, you have a new husband, and the old husband is dead. Adam is dead. You remember how there were the two Adams in Romans 5? Adam the first, to whom we are all obliged to keep that law. Well, it's over. Adam is dead. Christ is our new husband, and we are now in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, be ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that ye should bring forth fruit unto God. Now, do you notice that there's going to be new fruit? When you have a new husband, when you are married to Christ, you are no longer going to be bringing forth the things of the old life. You are going to be free, and you're going to be given grace to bring forth a new life. And so if you have been crucified with Christ and you are in union with him as a wife to a husband, then there will be new fruit. This will affect your whole life and your whole walk. You are free to live in Christ. You are free to honor him, worship him, serve him, and to do his will in your soul. And so today we want to take up this theme of newness of life in Christ Jesus. And I take that word right from verse 6, where it talks about that ye should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, is that true of you? Every born-again Christian, every blood-washed saint, everyone that is a truly united to the Lord Jesus by faith will live a new life. And it will not be bondage, it will not be legalism, but it will be the inner life that is renewed. Now, the first thing to notice here, that the Christian has a new master. The Christian has a new master. Throughout the epistles of Paul, there is the run of exhortations of serving unto the Lord in many spheres of life. And if you are in the Lord, that means united to him as to position, then you will serve unto the Lord, just as a wife to her husband. If you are married to that man, then your devotion, your interest, your new living, your purpose for living will be toward that man. You've got a whole new reason to live as the wife of that man. And so this now becomes the motivation of the Christian life. We are in Christ. We're united to him. He is now our head, and he is our purpose for living. And throughout the New Testament, you'll find many statements where it says, as unto the Lord. Now, this comes down to the practical realm. Wives, honor your husbands as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. Husbands, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Children, we are to obey your parents in the Lord. And the same applies to servants in Ephesians 6. As unto Christ. So it's, you're not living for yourself. You're not living just to be a man pleaser. But you're doing everything now as unto the Lord. You have a new master. And he's a wonderful master. He's a liberating master. He does not make you a slave, but he sets you free in heart from the inside out. He doesn't whip you, he draws you. He woos you by his love. And if you're in love with the Savior today, you are happily serving and following him. And so this new life in Christ brings a higher purpose of living. Being delivered from Adam, the guilt of the law, the shame of sin, the curse of sin, and all that Adam brought us into. Now that we have a new husband, we live a new life, and our fruit, our Christian living, is all with a focus and an eye unto the Lord. Now, how does this change things? What does it mean in real terms in your daily walk as a Christian? Well, this is the answer to marriage problems. We serve one another. We live for one another. We honor one another. As unto the Lord. That changes your home. That changes your attitude. And there are many things that we might do that we feel are contrary to our nature, causes us self-denial, things that by nature we wouldn't choose to do. But we do them as unto the Lord. And it lightens the load. It lifts the burden. It is truly being yoked with Christ. And as the Lord said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And if you are united to the Lord Jesus, it's easy to serve and honor him. This is also the answer to youth conflict. When you are a young person, life's hard. There are many decisions. You feel that you have to prove yourself. You feel that you have to demand independence. But as a Christian, you're never independent. You're never your own. You're never out to serve self. No matter your age, no matter your status in the home, you are doing all things as unto the Lord. And if it pleases him and is agreeable to his way, then it's so easy, it's liberating, it sets you free. I'm not the slave of a home. I'm the servant, the free servant of the Lord. And that's the wonderful liberty that we have here. It's also the answer to conflicts in the workplace. The Bible talks about servants in that list in Ephesians 6, where it talks about parents, children, and then servants. And so we talk about how the Christian life changes the workplace. Now, whether you're an employer or an employee, you are to do all things as unto the Lord. And how you treat those who work for you or with you is as unto the Lord. Would you say the same things to the Savior as you say to your boss? Would you say the same things to the Savior as you say to your newest employee? Maybe just signed up for a new job and obviously needs help and direction and encouragement. As a Christian employer, businessman, businesswoman, whatever, you are going to be dealing with that new hire as unto the Lord. And then we can bring it right to our church life. When it comes to our worship and fellowship in God's house, we are not here today just to serve self. Now, obviously, we come for our own good. We come for the blessing that we need in our own souls. But we do not come with an independent attitude. We are married to another, to the Lord. And we are to fellowship, worship in a manner that encourages and is a model for others. And in every church, there are strong saints and weak saints. There are mature and there are the new. There are those who have things together and others who are struggling. And the Lord uses the servant attitude of his people to strengthen the body and to encourage one another. And so if we have this servant attitude as unto the Lord, it will not be our fleshly tendency to just please self. To please self would be to take the shortcut, make it a convenience. I'm in church for my good, not to serve. Would you take this to heart today, that your church fellowship, your church life, would be one of service unto the Lord? That means you're actually and actively seeking out opportunities to minister to fellow believers, to lighten their load, to help them up in the ways of the Lord, and to be a real encourager to them. Now, you may say, where does that come in here in this fruit, this new life, not serving in the oldness of the letter? The oldness of the letter gives you a list of rules, do's and don'ts. This new life in Christ is something that the Holy Spirit prompts. No one can tell you to go over and talk to that brother and sister and give them words of encouragement. Nobody can tell you to give that person a handshake or a hug. But the Lord can make you to be an encourager out of your own commitment and your own blessing in the Lord. And so we pray there will be that kind of fruit. Fruit is never forced. Fruit is natural. Fruit is the result of living in the vine. And if we are united to Christ, there will be this newness of fruit. It's the natural result of new life in Christ. Now, if you tell me, but I've no interest in prayer and praying for my brothers and sisters. I've no interest in praying for the cause of Christ in the church. I've no time. I'm so busy. My life is consumed with other things. Then I have to ask, are you united to Christ? Are you really living in union with Him? That's the challenge. And it comes here in Romans 7. Who is our master? Is it the flesh, the old life, the Adamic life? Or is it Christ, our new husband? And if you are truly in Christ, that fruit will come. It will mature. It will multiply. And you will shine in this way of serving the Lord Jesus. Now, as we go on down this chapter, Romans 7 to 25, Romans chapter 7, verse 7 to 25, you will see that we not only have a new master, but we enter into a new struggle. You can't read these verses and not recognize the struggle that was going on in the Apostle Paul's life. Yes, the Apostle Paul had spiritual struggles, and he was a mature believer. When he wrote this letter to the Romans, he was at least 20 years in the Christian life. And yet, he confessed that within him there was the will to do, but he did not. And the things that he did, he shouldn't. And there was this ongoing struggle until you get to verse 24 and it comes to a peak and an apex, and he confesses, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Paul was not at peace with himself. Now that seems contradictory when we tell people that if you become a Christian that the Lord will satisfy your soul. It's not a contradiction. It's true. If you want peace from guilt, Jesus gives it to you through the blood of the cross. If you want to be reconciled to God and to enjoy communion with God, Jesus gives that to the believer. But the more you grow as a Christian, the more of his light and love that fills your heart, the more that you see the sin nature in your own life, until you come to the point with Paul that you confess, "O wretched man that I am." You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.